and welcome to the Inside Out Show, coming to you once a week on Thursdays, where we go into greater depth on some things that are happening in the world. I'm Devin Almonte. So glad that you're here. Hope you're having a great week. Many kids are back in school this week, including our kids. First day was great. Second day, we just were not all together. Out of cereal, one of our kids overslept, missed the bus, and so we had to drive them to school, trying to figure out sports schedules, coaches, just kind of all that chaos. I think it takes like 2 weeks to really kind of plug back in and readjust to the new routine. At least it does for me. Anyway, glad you're here. Coming up, we're talking about Mississippi. They are facing a heartbreaking health crisis that is tied to infant mortality. Highest in the country. What's going on there? Plus, the world of AI just keeps getting a little bit weirder. We had the pregnant robots that we were talking about last week, and that was pretty unsettling. But now we've got another story that is eerily similar, trying to create life. But this story is about bringing loved ones back from the dead as if they were still here. And then there's Amazon, good old lovely Amazon. When you buy a movie on Amazon Prime, you may not actually own that movie. It's more like it's on loan, because we're headed to a place where we are going to own nothing. That is all ahead for us here to help us stay grounded and informed in this ever-shifting world. Okay, we got to talk about what's happening in Mississippi. They just declared a public health emergency. And no, it's not a new virus. It's not a hurricane, nothing like that. It's actually for something we might not even be aware of. Infant mortality. Sure, we know this happens across the country. It's part of life. Babies die, people die, elderly die, sick people. It's unfortunate, but it's reality. But it's a lot more than that, because the numbers, particularly in Mississippi, are going up. It's the highest that it's been in a decade. What the heck is happening? Mississippi's numbers are the worst in the country. So that means that a baby that is born in Mississippi is way more likely to die in their first year of life than a baby born anywhere else. New York, Florida, California, anywhere else in the country. And from what we can tell, most of this is preventable. So here's what's going on. In 2024, Mississippi's infant mortality rate rose to nearly 10 deaths for every 1,000 live births. That's a big deal. And this brings me back to when I was a new mom. I mean, I think about all the stuff that I worried about and just didn't know, you know, when you bring a new baby into the home, and it's wonderful, but also terrifying. And I think my top two fears, especially in those early months, were autism and SIDS. Like, you're watching your baby sleep and you're going, oh my gosh, is something going to happen? Do I put you on your stomach? Do I put you on your back? What do? I can't sleep because you're so worried about your baby. I think that's the case for a lot of moms. But what's shocking about what's happening in Mississippi is that these aren't random, unexplainable things. They're saying that the leading causes of death here are things like premature birth, low birth weight, birth defects. SIDS is one of them, sudden infant death syndrome. These are not new issues and they're not unsolvable. We know how to improve these problems. So why is all of this still happening? That's what I think is so frustrating. Mississippi is even falling behind, even compared to countries that have much fewer resources. Listen.
A shocking health crisis is generating comparisons between one state in a literal war zone. Mississippi has declared a public health emergency over its infant mortality rate, which is, get this, even higher than that of war-torn Ukraine. And it has people asking why so many babies are dying in Mississippi and what can be done to save them.
And this is the United States. We're supposed to have some of the best hospitals, the best tools and services and training. And I don't know. It just doesn't feel like this adds up. Like, why are we having such a serious issue here? And then when you look at the racial breakdown here, the infant mortality rate for Black babies in Mississippi is a little over 15 deaths per 1,000 births. That is more than double the national average. I think for white babies in Mississippi, it's around 6 deaths, something like that. Still not good. Dr. Dan Edney is the state's health officer. He's been at the helm since 2022. He's also a dad, a granddad. So he's out speaking on this and says, we can't accept this. And these numbers, we don't want them to be our reality. And so they're trying to put some things in place to deal with this. One of the things they see as the major issue are these, they call them maternity care deserts. Basically, they're just areas that are completely rural, no medical assistance and hospitals nearby, no labor and delivery. So they're trying to work on that, a better system of care. But what also caught my attention, for a long time, Mississippi has had some of the highest childhood vaccination rates in the United States. So that's kind of interesting. Like, all getting everything done there. But then in 2023, some things changed. A federal judge said that the state could start allowing for religious exemptions for vaccines. And I don't think that had been allowed before. And so since then, vaccination rates have dropped a bit, and they've now also dropped in their national rankings. But here's where it also gets more complicated. Because even with those high vaccination rates, Mississippi also had the highest infant mortality rate in the country for years. Some people are starting to ask those hard questions, like whether there could be a connection between all these vaccines and issues like SIDS, or are we seeing a spike because there's a decrease in vaccination, or is there something else going on here? Obviously, people have very strong opinions about it, but I think it does raise an important question. What is driving these numbers? Are we asking the right questions to get honest answers? Is it really a system of care that's needed in these areas? Is that the solution? I don't know. I think it's strange that we have that much of a jump. Have you heard about this? AI is now being used to digitally recreate people who have passed away, like loved ones. There are even sites to help you with this where people, you can take your voice notes and videos, voicemails, old social media posts, and you can just kind of drop them all into this software program and use them to bring somebody back, at least digitally. And then suddenly, if you've lost a parent, you can hear them say, I love you again. Or you can hear grandma tell you the same old story that she used to tell at every holiday gathering. Or sadly, if you lost a child, you could hear them play their favorite game. This all sounds like a game, but it's not. It is real. Well, it's the realest non-real thing that is happening. And people have very different feelings about it. I, for one, am very much opposed to this. My husband, he's not as much. I don't think he's like in favor of it. I think it's like depending on how you use it, because he brought up a point. He said, well, we already go back and watch videos of people that we lost, and that brings a lot of comfort, and we flip through old photos. Is it really that different? Like, we're triggering that memory of somebody that is no longer with us. Yes, I get that. But the thing for me is, it is totally different, because the AI version, it's not a memory, it's a simulation. It's not your loved one talking. It's a computer pretending to be them. And that, I don't like it. I mean, it makes me really uncomfortable. It makes me uneasy, because that's not the heart and soul of the person I know. It's just pretend. But some people are finding a lot of comfort in it, and they say it helps me grieve. It helps me remember. Here's this one woman talking with her deceased father.
Well, what would you say to your late loved ones if you were able to? Back at 8:45, we introduced you to Reflecta AI platform. It's a platform that uses AI to help people interact with their loved ones who have passed away.
So this morning, we are now going to talk to somebody who actually has used it. Kelsey Olson joining us live via Zoom. So nice to talk to you. I'm a tad skeptical on this, on whether it's really like talking to your loved one, in your case, your father. And was it emotional when you did it at first? Good morning.
I was a little bit skeptical myself. You know, I actually never met my dad. He passed away 3 weeks before my twin sister and I were born.
Okay.
So this was a brand new thing and the opportunity for me to actually talk to my father. And it was surreal. It was a mix of emotions. And I still feel everything every time I log on to talk to him.
Wow. Now, you know, your situation is so unique because you're actually able to maybe build a relationship that you never really had with your dad.
I don't know. I don't like it. And it's not real. It's just, I feel like we're in some weird virtual sci-fi movie. And we've got to ask really hard questions rather than just kind of take this at surface level. Like, is this helping or hurting the grieving process? That's part of it. And are we clinging to something that, you know, even if we love, no matter how much we love that person and loved that person, should we be clinging to this or should we be letting go in some fashion? Because if we're not, like, if we're trying to recreate all this stuff, it feels like I feel like I would try to be playing the part of God and trying to make something the way I'd like it to sound for my own personal benefit. And I don't know if that's right. And I wrestle with that as a Christian, because these are voices that I miss. They're words I wish I could hear again. But there's a lot to remember. Our time here is so short. and death is not the end as believers, that we are going to have a real reunion that is to come in eternity. It's not in an app. It's not in a made-up software program. This was wild. The woman, the Parkland shooting that happened in 2018, and I feel I just want to first say the mom, Patricia Oliver, and her son, Joaquin, he was one of the 17 students that was killed. And I can't imagine the grief and how you process, and everybody processes differently. But she used AI to recreate the voice of her son. And she even had her AI son give a press interview. So it's like a real reporter talking to her AI son, all with the intention of advocating for stronger gun laws and mental health support. And on one hand, I get it. When we lose a loved one, especially a child or to cancer, we might start to support a cause or something that our child or that person loved. You know, if they were really into a sport, we might try to raise money or funds for something that was meaningful to them after they've passed away to keep their memory alive. But it's like she's trying to keep his memory alive in a way that can spark change. And I know it's her son, but it's almost like I feel like you're using that person, even for right or wrong, to start to advocate for something that they actually haven't advocated for. I can't imagine doing that to my family members that have passed away and trying to use their voice for it. I don't want to call it agenda because, again, I feel just horrible for what the moms had to go through. But it just doesn't sit well. And I don't know if it was her or someone else, but if it wasn't her, there was this very similar story where the mom created an AI version of her son who had also died. And then it was part of her grieving process and healing. She started to spend time chatting with him. But then it started to become more of an obsession, more and more and more. So she's spending all this time online talking with her son, her AI son. So she couldn't do life now without her AI son, just taking him with her through her days. And it's not real. This reminds me when we make a big move where we live. Say you've made a big move from California to Florida. That's pretty big, right? You leave behind your community, your house, your coffee shop, where they know your order, and you loved it. You still keep in touch, you visit, you love all the people. But if you spend all of your energy recreating that old life in your new place, then you're never really living in your new place. You're trying to bring the past where it can't go. And I don't think you can really fully be present and fully heal and fully move on. And I'm not saying don't remember, don't keep in contact. I mean, those are wonderful things. I mean, we had a big move and I love to keep in touch with old friends and they're lifelong friends. But if our main sustenance comes from the past, from something that is so disconnected from our present, I don't think that's healthy and maybe even unholy. Because this is where things really start to get complicated. If we are bringing back people we love, okay, what about, do we bring back Martin Luther King Jr.? I mean, what about Mother Teresa? What about C.S. Lewis? Like, that would be kind of cool, right, to see them. But is that good? Is that good for us? Is that good for society? I mean, if we could bring anybody back to bring some peace and perspective in the world today, I think we should bring back Fred Rogers from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
He's probably the one we need the most right now. Now, there's somebody I left off that list on purpose because the idea of an AI Jesus, oh, good Lord, that is a terrifying thought. Who runs ChatGPT? It's, what is that guy's name? Hold on a second here. Sam Altman, right? I wonder what kind of Jesus he would come up with. And then we've got Grok. I know where that would go. Elon Musk is going to program Jesus to tell us all to repopulate the world in the most extreme way possible. There are just some things we shouldn't recreate because they aren't real. If Jesus wanted to say more to us as he did in the flesh, then I think that would have been part of his plan. Like, he doesn't need some computer to start predicting what he would say as if he were here, because he is here anyway. We just need to be better listeners to be able to tune into what he has to tell us. But that's a whole nother story. We're not going to get into that today. So let me know what you think. We'll talk about it in my Facebook group, Insight Out Community. Would love for you to join. Would you recreate a loved one using AI? Maybe you've already done it. I'd love to hear your experience with that. We've recently canceled all of our streaming services except for one. And honestly, part of it was because of the cost, because you got one show over here and then you got another one over there. And before you know it, you've got five different subscriptions to these streaming services just to finish one season of anything. It was driving us crazy. And it reminded me actually of why grocery stores were created and invented the way they are today in the first place, because you got everything in one place. It's like, you got the bread. Yes, got it. Milk right there. Produce, meat, ice cream. You can just go to one store, you grab it all, and then you get to go home. But streaming now is going in the opposite direction, because you've got to go here for one thing. You got to go there. It's fragmented and confusing. And I don't have the patience for it. But there's another thing that really started to bother us, is just keeping track of what we've actually purchased, like in terms of movies, particularly on Amazon Prime. Just for example, I've bought the Charlie Brown Christmas movie, I think 3, 4, 5 different times, because I can't remember what platform I bought it on and where it went, and I just can't find it. And so I just feel like I keep buying that over and over again, so that we have it for when December rolls around. Which brings me to the latest issue that is happening right now. Picture yourself, you're on your couch, you're ready to watch a movie with your family or whatever. You bought it on Amazon a while back, and you're scrolling through your digital library, and you're going, I think I bought this. Where is it? I can't find it. It seems like it vanished. Just poof, it's gone. Yeah. It might not be you. It might actually be gone. Listen to this.
Amazon Prime Video is getting sued. Amazon is essentially getting accused of a bait and switch.
When you buy a movie on Amazon Prime, you don't actually own it. And that's the basis of a class action that was just filed. So it turns out when you click that buy button, Amazon says you only get limited access that they can revoke at any time.
Yes, this is what is actually happening. And Amazon is being sued for calling something a purchase, like you're buying the thing when you're really not buying the thing. You're buying a license, a temporary one that they can decide to just revoke whenever they want. It's a little bait and switchy, like the girl in the video said. One woman, Lisa Reingold, who filed a class action lawsuit, had that happen. She bought Bella and the Bulldogs for over $20 and had access. And then she turned around and guess what? She had no more access. Lost it completely. This isn't just about movies either. I have Kindle. And if you have Kindle or one of these things, they might operate in a similar fashion, but you used to be able to download certain Kindle books via the USB. You could actually save a copy to your computer, but you can't do that anymore. You can only read it through the app as long as Amazon allows it. So again, you don't really own it. You're borrowing it for a price. Now, I get it because we love digital. We love convenience. We like things that are fast. I mean, it's just a lot of fun to be able to click a button and have packages show up or a movie just appear on the TV. But I think the issue is deeper than just the slight dishonesty of some of these companies not being so forthcoming about what you are buying. But the other thing that is happening is that we are trading real ownership of things for short-term access, temporary access. And I don't know how we got here, but we got here really quickly to this subscription-based model for everything. You will own nothing is a very common phrase today. Go to TikTok, just type in you will own nothing. There are tons of videos on this. And there's another phrase like they've tacked on to kind of trick us. You will own nothing and be happy. Like just to remind us that this is all a good thing, they're telling us. Danish politician Ida Auken, this was back in 2016.
I mean, your cell phone? Why do you want to own your cell phone? How many of you own your cell phones? How many knows if the company owns it? It's actually not a lot. I mean, you want the function, you want the service, right? Why do you want to own a cell phone if you can just lease it? And if you lease, why shouldn't you lease your refrigerator or your washing machine or your dishwasher? Or why do you want to own it? I mean, it's not like the plastic in the middle is like, I own a broke dishwasher. I mean, wow. No, why don't you want to go into a business model where the company owns it? You know what happens when the company owns it? Actually, they can bring down the prices because they don't have to buy new metal and new plastic.
She's raving about not owning anything. She describes our future where no one will own anything. We'll just all share, we'll borrow and subscribe. I remember at our old house, we had a water softener that came with the home and the previous owners rented it. So we just kept the rental going. It was like $12 a month. And later I did the math because we paid from month to month for 8 years. We were in the house for 8 years. $12 a month. We ended up paying a little over $1,000 for that rental, where a basic water softener that uses salt, we probably could have gotten for $600. Now, if we stayed in the house another 8 years, because the water softener, they're good for, I mean, if you take care of it, 20, 25 years, if we had continued renting, now we would have paid $2,000 for the water softener that cost around $600. That starts to add up. And now when I look at all the tools that I use every day, from accounting software, we have our family calendar apps, Google Docs, it's everything is subscription-based. Nothing is a one-time purchase. Music, TV, fitness apps, groceries, it's all this ongoing cycle that we are not really buying anything. We are being programmed to just rent everything. And I'm really not anti-subscription because I do like some of my subscriptions and I think there's some benefits. Some of it I get, like with technology. I remember when the Samsung refrigerator came out, like the newer one that has the panel on the front that's all techie and you can, it's touchscreen, I think. My husband wanted that fridge, and I don't want to do that because in 1 year, it's going to be totally outdated, and then we're stuck with this refrigerator that we bought. And in that case, I don't know, maybe it would be nice to not actually own that refrigerator so that you can just update with the technology as things change. But something about it, it just all feels very off, like we are being trained to stop owning and just keep paying forever, like until we die. Am I really going to be paying for my accounting software until I die? That's a very expensive piece of software. So yeah, when we see the big green button that is very easy for us to click and it says buy now, that doesn't actually mean what it used to. Ownership doesn't mean what it used to. Are we okay with that? And have we thought about what that looks like long term? I mean, map it out. Look at some of the things that you are paying for in your subscriptions. First, you probably don't even know what your subscriptions are. We got to take an inventory of all the subscriptions. Look at how many we're signed up for. I bet the number is going to scare you. And then figure out how long you actually plan to pay for these things and see how much that's going to cost you. Like this guy, just listen to the number of subscriptions he has.
How many subscription services do you think you have?
Prime, so, Netflix, Hulu, HBO, Peacock, Spotify, Apple, Amazon Prime, Equinox. That one's underutilized, it seems. Instacart, Postmates, Uber, Canvas, SoundCloud, Dropbox, Google Drive, iCloud.
Isn't it upsetting?
No.
Yeah, that's a little alarming. And I mean, we're right there with them. We have a lot of subscriptions. So I have a little advice, having gone through this myself. Just before you sign up for these things, know what you're getting into, because I know that button is very tempting to just click and the movie pops up. Let's know what we are agreeing to. Read the terms. And I know that sounds painful because the small print and it's so long, but that's where I'll say AI is great. Throw it into ChatGPT and ask it to flag the weird stuff and things you should be aware of. It's not perfect, but it's better than nothing. Because the truth is, what we think we own, we often don't. And what usually feels permanent is not. And as I mentioned, this is not just an Amazon issue with how they're telling us that we can buy their movies. Yes, I think it's a little bait and switchy, and I really don't like that. I don't like companies that just kind of take advantage of us like that and manipulate things. But it's a deeper issue and a shift that we are seeing that is just moving toward a world where we will own nothing. All right, before we close, have you ever been interrupted right in the middle of something important that you were doing? Maybe your quiet time with Christ, maybe in the middle of your work. That was me the other day, just totally thrown off when someone showed up at the door. But then I realized, oh, right, I interrupt Jesus all the time and he never pushes me away. That's what I'm sharing in today's Anchor Point devotional. Interruptions are still holy ground. And it's a quick listen. I hope you listen to it. It might just change how you see those unexpected moments that we have. So after you listen to this, you can go search for the Anchor Points on the Insight Out podcast, wherever you listen. Come on over and join us in the Insight Out community on Facebook. We can talk about these things, the issue in Mississippi, the AI thing. I'd love to know your thoughts on that. And also how we deal with owning nothing. How do we feel about that? Remember, we are not meant to do this life alone. Thanks for spending some time with me. Let's choose wisely and live our lives Insight Out. Talk soon. I'll see you next Thursday.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to hear it in your pod. You'll own nothing and be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no car, but 24 booster shots in your arm. Own nothing, be happy. You can't even buy in the store because of your low social credit score. Oh, nothing. Be happy.